On today's episode of Locked On Nets, you already know what we're going to be talking about. It's the shocking firing of Kenny Atkinson. We talk about what went wrong, potential new coaching hires, and which Nets former legend does Josh suggest as the next head coach in the Nets, coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into a emergency edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, your home for daily Brooklyn Nets content. I'm your host, Josh Bass, joined by Marcus Sparrowhall. We have an urgent podcast discussion here today. Was not expecting this, Marcus. I wake up to tweets from Puccio, from Woj, Shams, and texts from everyone I know that knows I care about the Nets that Kenny Atkinson is out as Nets coach just after the bashing that the Nets did of the San Antonio Spurs, a 20-point win last night. I think everyone is absolutely shocked with the timing and what has been a extremely tumultuous season for the Nets so far. I think pretty much everything has gone wrong for them besides Kevin Durant's recovery. Marcus, are you as surprised as I am? What just happened here?
Yeah, this is pretty stunning. I had definitely considered the fact that he would maybe not be brought back like in the off season, just because of the fact that when you get those two superstar guys, like, you're gonna kind of bend to whatever they want as their head coach. But for it to happen mid season, and particularly after that Spurs game, which the team played really well in, and then they had the comeback against the Celtics, like, there's an opportunity there after the huge Grizzlies loss to fire him after that, and it would have been like, okay, like, the team hasn't been playing well. They had one comeback, but now they're back to, like, they're losing ways, and, like, let's get rid of him. But to do it after the Spurs game really surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, I think with any of these coaching decisions, you can't let one game really impact things, but it is surprising. I mean, a lot of parallels to Byron Scott when he got fired in 2004. You know, he had led the Nets to a ton of success, back-to-back NBA championship appearance, NBA finals appearances, sorry, winning the Eastern Conference. You know, Kenny obviously didn't do it on that scale, but he did turn the Nets around, had an incredible season last year, and really guiding a ragtag group of misfits to the sixth seed and 42 wins in the Eastern Conference. No small feat. They have disappointed this year, but remember, Byron Scott also got fired after a 20-point win over the Celtics, and then Lawrence Frank took over, and the Nets won like 13 games after that. We were all worshiping Lawrence Frank, so hopefully Jacques Vaughn will have that type of success. But to me, it just makes zero sense to do this in the middle of the season. Like, what do they gain from that? Especially because Jacques Vaughn's going to come in, and he's not going to be your permanent head coach moving forward. He is just a stopgap guy. I don't get it.
Yeah, Jacques Vaughn coached the Magic for a couple years and was 58 and 158, so I definitely hope he's not the permanent head coach of the Nets going forward. Firing Kenny now, in theory, like, it would give you, if you had like a replacement lined up, you could bring that guy in and kind of like have him or her, I guess, get to know the players, like kind of get accustomed to like implementing their system and whatnot over these last 20 games and the first round playoff series. But the fact that it's going to just kind of be like what the whole season has been, like kind of a throwaway now, is really disappointing. And like, the only positive, I guess, is that they have more time to find someone, but I would think if you're making a move this big, you kind of have people in mind already. So yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have someone in mind. Also, it's like the Nets are going to be a premier job in the offseason because they have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So it's not like you need that extra time to really try to get ahead of the curve, which is what happened. Remember how early the Nets had hired Kenny Atkinson a few years back when he first got the job. So it's not like that. I mean, I just don't get it at all. I think Jacques Vaughn is like that prototypical interim coach where he's like a J.B. Bickerstaff, where you're going to bring him in. He's not going to add anything either on the X and O sides or really the player development side. I didn't like him when he was a Nets player. So it just doesn't make sense. And like, let's talk about how Kenny did this year, because it wasn't all peaches and cream, but I don't think it was a disaster also. And he didn't have a lot to work with. And I think as the Nets have gotten better and have more talent and more expectations, there has been a magnitude placed on his lack of X's and O's expertise. But that's something you bring someone in for. And I think the culture that he's developed, helped develop alongside Sean Marks, and the excellent, tangible player development work he's done with some of these Nets guys can't be overblown. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why KD and Kyrie wanted to come here. Not just because the Nets were kind of had Josiah, business opportunities, a team that had good player facilities, but also they had a track record of getting guys from plucking them from the G League, making them really good role players, taking a team without a ton of talent last year and helping them get to the playoffs. And a lot of that was Kenny Atkinson's doing. So I'm just baffled.
Yeah, and also there's the fact that, like, you know, you kind of see some coaches, like, they build up a young team and then they don't always get to see the payoff of like actually coaching them when the team is good. Mm-hmm. Like a guy like Mark Jackson kind of had an opportunity with the Warriors, and then they brought in Steve Kerr to take them over the top. But there are guys like Brett Brown or Brad Stevens who kind of ushered in from the team being bad to then the team being good, and they're still the head coaches there. Kenny got literally zero games coaching Kevin Durant and got 20 games with just Kyrie, where Kyrie was like hobbled or like injured for part of those games. So he really didn't have an opportunity to show what he can do with like that kind of superstar talent. So it feels really premature to make a call like this, like on what his coaching ability is with this type of roster, considering that he never really got to coach this type of roster.
Yeah, for sure. And like, look, you could say that the Nets are underperforming right now with the roster they have right now, but the roster they have right now is terrible. Like, they probably should be 28-34. They're exactly where they are.
This is the same, like a very similar, because like some of the role players are swapped out, but this is the same team as last year, just minus D'Lo. So if they're like last year, they were 42-40. They're like a couple games over 500 now. They'll probably be a couple games under. Like, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, and you're missing a lot of guys who weren't big names but contributed, like Damari Carroll and Jared Dudley. DeAndre Jordan's a big name compared to Ed Davis, but I think we can both agree that Ed Davis was probably giving the Nets a little bit more than DeAndre, or at least it was very similar.
Yeah, it was more consistent.
Yeah, like, yes, you do have, like, and LeVert's had injuries. Dinwiddie's been up and down, mostly good, though. Like, you're playing Torian Prince at the four, and he's been a complete bust, and he was someone that was heavily relied on. Kurucs, everything that happened with him this year when he was an integral part of the team last year. I think you could point a lot more fingers at Sean Marks than you could at Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, like, this whole year was kind of, like, a throwaway regardless, so to see, like, actual consequences from it is crazy to me.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the elephant in the room here is that Stephen Bondy, you know, he can be controversial, but one of the things that he did put very well on his Twitter was basically saying, hey, if KD and Kyrie wanted Kenny Atkinson here, he would still be the coach. And, you know, Puccio tweeted out basically saying that a source told him that some of the players wanted him gone. I think it's very clear to put two and two together. Maybe KD was kind of indifferent, but I think you could definitely say that Kyrie didn't want Kenny as the coach. And I think there's always going to be kind of an imbalance there when you have a coach that I'd say is more like grassroots, less prestigious, hasn't been to wars in the playoffs, and then you bring in superstar guys. I mean, we've seen it happen before where like LeBron and David Blatt clashes, and not to compare Kenny to David Blatt because he can now coach him a million times over. But there's always going to be that dynamic there where maybe the coach doesn't have the respect of the player, especially if they're not an ex-player themselves. But it's just disappointing to see how much power those star guys are wielding over the organization when this season has been an utter disappointment. And a lot of that's because of Kyrie Irving, both his injuries, his performance on the court, and some of the comments he's made, especially the one in regards to naming guys who were or were not part of the core.
Yeah, and again, like the biggest thing for me is like at least with that Blatt situation, he like got an opportunity to coach those guys, and like they could actually see like, oh, this is not working. Whereas like he did not coach KD for a single game. Like that's mind blowing to me.
Yeah, no, it's shocking. I think everyone's kind of just befuddled because Kenny had developed a good reputation around the league. But it's clear that the Nets organization just didn't feel that he could get them to that next level. I think Kenny's going to have a job in a very short amount of time. I think even a team like the Knicks, someone that has a lot of young guys that wants to be able to shape them into players that can really make an impact in this league, that may have the raw tools, I think any team would be lucky to have him in that situation. because he's an excellent, excellent player development guy. But it's clear that the Nets didn't think he was the right fit. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you have to give him much more of a chance, but it's a decision that they handled swiftly, maybe rashly, but we'll see what happens moving forward. I mean, Marcus, where does this team go from here the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, like, literally the only purpose of these last 20 games in this first-round series was to kind of keep integrating the role guys, try to get them more comfortable, like, in the system, the newer guys I'm talking about. And now you're going to have to flip all that. You're going to have to bring in a head coach who will, I'm assuming, not be the head coach next year. So it's really just, like, if Jacque Vaughn can kind of make sure that LeVert can kind of keep what he's been doing going, and if he can keep Dinwiddie, like, healthy, that's, like, really, those are my two biggest concerns right now. It's just, like, try to keep Karis on this role he's been on this last week, and just everyone stay healthy.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Karis, like, he's been balling out. Like, he had a triple-double last night. Obviously, the 51-point outburst against Boston, he has been really putting everything together. And it's tough. I mean, it's the Nets don't have a ton of, like, guys that can really light it up right now. It really is kind of either Dinwiddie or Karis is going to be on the floor. They're going to be running pick and roll. If not, you have Harris running around the screen. This is kind of a one-dimensional team because there's not a ton of guys that can make things happen on this roster. You have a lot of vets like Temple, Wilson Chandler, who are, like, okay, but aren't going to move the needle one way or the other. So I think the roster construction surrounding some of the lead guys has been pretty poor, frankly. But yeah, you just have to hope that Karis can continue on this spurt. And I think, I don't know, from watching the game last night, I think that everyone was feeling so good about things, especially you have the horrible loss to Memphis, but the Nets do rebound well against the Spurs, have that awesome performance, obviously the goodwill still from that incredible Boston comeback, and then just this decision comes really out of the blue.
Yeah, and that was, like, that was such a good game. Nets had eight guys in double figures. Like, it was just, like, not close really at any point. It was 7-6 early, and then the Nets went on a 15-0 run and kind of maintained a double-digit lead the rest of the way. There were, like, bright spots from newer guys like Chioza, who's been playing so well, like, continued that. DJ played well off the bench. Like, TLC has been playing really well and, like, shooting well of late. And it was just, like, yeah, everything's kind of clicking right now. Like, maybe this team can do what it did last year and at least, like, put a scare into one of those top four teams in the first round. And then, like, for this news to come today is just, like, really disappointing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, like, I don't know, man, the season has been, there's so many ups and downs. But I think about where we were in July and, like, how much fun we expected this season to be, even with KD out. But, you know, it was kind of a trial run. But I think a lot of that goodwill has been eradicated by the Nets' own doing. And not to say that people won't be excited for the start of next year when KD's back and hopefully Kyrie's healthy, but it's just been a weird, strange season, and I'm not sure where they go from here. And in terms of who they could be looking to hire, I'm assuming they're going to go after a more established coach. If it's someone like a Tibbs or Mark Jackson, I just, God help us. We're going to be in for a world of hurt.
I've seen a lot of Mark Jackson rumors on Twitter, especially because Rich Kleiman, who's KD's business partner, is, like, a huge fan of him. Mark Jackson obviously is, like, a New York guy, so yeah,
he is the Nets connection from being an announcer here for many years,
right? So him coming would make sense. Another guy that I've seen on Twitter, kind of, which I don't know how much I would buy this, I don't know what their relationship is like, but Ty Lue, who is an assistant with the Clippers right now, who coached Kyrie and Joe Harris, I think, also to that Cavs title. He at least has experience, like, dealing with superstars and superstar egos. I mean, like, they did win the title with him. So, like, as much as you might criticize his, like, actual coaching ability, like, a team won a title with him as the head coach. So you can't quite, I would put him, like, a notch ahead of, like, a Mark Jackson type, at least. And then I have a couple other names here, if you want me to run them by you, Josh.
Yes, please.
Okay, because I feel like you weren't very titillated by Mark Jackson or Ty Lue.
I hate both of them.
Okay, so a more established guy, if the Lakers kind of, like, fall short of their end goal and wind up like promoting Jason Kidd. How would you feel about Frank Vogel if he was let go by the Lakers?
I would feel really good about Vogel. I don't think that the Lakers would let him go after all the success they've had this year, even if he falls short in the playoffs. And I think LeBron has really bought in, and their defense has been awesome. And I think especially with a job Budenholzer has done with the Bucks, I think it really goes to show how poorly a job Kidd did with that team coaching them before. So I would love Vogel. I just don't think he's going to get let go by the Lakers.
Okay. Another guy, similar situation, Mike D'Antoni. If the Rockets have kind of made him like kind of on the bubble, same with Morey, like if they lose in either like the first or second round this year, I could definitely see him being fired. I don't know if he would necessarily fit style-wise with the team that the Nets have, but I think he would have fit with the team that they had last year. But with KD and Kyrie, it's kind of particular, and you need like a guy who can like manage those egos, which to his credit, D'Antoni has had Harden for a while. He coached Dwight Howard and made him like at least like a respectable contributing player in the NBA. So that's not the easiest thing to do. He's got Westbrook now, who can definitely be like combative in certain situations, and he seems to have bought in at least to the system they have now. So maybe he's more adaptable than he gets credit for.
Yeah, I actually like D'Antoni. I like Pringles. I think he has the credibility with Kyrie and KD that it would work. I don't know. Maybe if he does get fired, he wants to take a back seat because he is getting up there in age, late 60s. Mm-hmm. So, but I would like that in terms of getting him in there. I think he can. He's shown that he's not just someone that coaches a run and gun team. The Rockets are obviously playing faster this year with Westbrook, but in the past couple of years, they were kind of mid teens in terms of pace, and I think that's what Kyrie and KD would want to play. So I think it could be a good fit there.
Okay, this one's a little more under the radar here. Sam Cassell, assistant coach for the Clippers, previously assistant coach for the Wizards, former net player. He's gotten, at this point, he's been an assistant coach for a decade with the Wizards and the Clippers. Seen a lot of things. He's definitely going to get a ton of experience in the playoffs this year with that Clipper team. And then as a player, was a three-time champion as well. So he's like a guy who I think that KD and Kyrie would respect as like for his basketball abilities, and then also has kind of learned from Doc Rivers the last few years and might actually be able to coach as well.
Yeah, I like this. I would not have thought of Cassell, but I actually really like this. I think he does have the credibility. I mean, I don't know if the Nets are going to want to go with a first-time coach to bring in this team, because this is a team of a lot of personalities and a lot of expectations. But in terms of first-time coaches, I like that. I've also heard Becky Hammon, which I don't think they would do as a first-time coach and put her in this situation. Jaeger, I don't think has the credibility with KD and Kyrie. I just really hope it's not a Ty Lue or a Van Gundy or Mark Jackson. All three of those would just suck.
Yeah, I feel like Mark Jackson's probably the favorite right now. There's other assistants who I think could be good, like Ime Udoka, Adrian Griffin, Jason Collins' twin brother,
Jaron Collins. Yeah.
Even Brett Brown, if he got let go, would kind of just be like what they had with Kenny if they wanted to do that.
Not Brett Brown. Wait, I actually really like the Jaron Collins thing because of the connection with KD.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's been with the Warriors for a while. He also was a scout for the Clippers.
I think Shot Willie really Jr. Yeah. They're a twin. Ime Udoka could make sense with also the Spurs connection. Maybe like, I don't know, a Juwan Howard is someone who obviously had a lot of success at Michigan, but you bring him back. I don't know, Stackhouse is a guy that's gotten a ton of good kind of goodwill for what he's done with the Raptors 905 now at Vanderbilt.
I liked him a lot with 905 for sure. Yeah, he was like kind of Nick Nurse's protege, as is Adrian Griffin, who I mentioned, who's like the lead now for the Raptors.
Yeah, that could make sense. But I don't know why didn't Stackhouse get a job with the 905? Like Vanderbilt's not a good college job. It's like a lower tier SEC team.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember he was on a podcast in the summer of 2017. I want to say the Low Post. I just remember listening to it in Washington, D.C. when I was there in the summer of 2017. And I was really impressed with him, and I thought for sure he was going to be like one of those next like young coaching candidates brought in, sort of like Ty Lue was, like a former player who's given that early opportunity. But yeah, I don't really know why it didn't happen. I would be in favor of giving a guy like that a shot. I think him, like Jaren Collins, Sam Cassell, those are all like in the same category of guys who played a long time. So I think, or at least like were involved in the league for a while. And so I think they have the respect of current players and guys like Katie and Kyrie. And also they're like young enough where they have upside as a coach, but they've like spent time learning and like studying with some of the best coaches currently in the NBA. So I think that's the route that I would go, but I'm definitely worried that they're going to go more towards either like a Mark Jackson or like a JVG or someone like that.
Yeah. Well, I have an outside the box one for you. VC.
Oh, wow.
You like that?
Wow. Yes, kind of, yeah. If he's interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's someone that went from a credibility standpoint, like obviously has that. And I think a lot of the problems when you have these star players that become coaches, it's like, oh, they don't know how to relate to someone who's not in that star position. But, you know, he's been a role player and mentor for a lot of the young guys on the Hawks and the Grizzlies. Like, everywhere where he's bounced around the last really like 5 or 6 years, he hasn't been a big time player. So I actually think he's could be really good. I think he can handle the media well. Obviously, he does his podcast now with The Ringer, and I think he wants to stay involved even as his career kind of winds down. I actually love that Nets connection, of course, beloved by the team and the franchise and the fans. I think that might be my favorite one.
That's a really good call, yeah. And he's shown like an incredible adaptability, like you mentioned, being able to transition like from star player to role player to really like not playing at all, but just kind of mentoring young guys like Trae Young, who all like swear by him. They all say he's like such a great teammate. And yeah, just the fact that he's like gone from being like basically like a Kyrie level superstar to sort of like a Jared Dudley type now, like covering that wide of a span of players, I think would come in real handy as a head coach.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite. It also works so well when the last time the Nets brought a historic player to coach their team immediately after retirement. Right?
Spill a drink, maybe?
Exactly. Bring Tyshawn Taylor back?
He's so crafty, so cunning.
Yep. So, I don't know. I think there's some interesting ideas here. Yeah. And that has definitely gotten me more excited after the crazy feeling that I had after Kenny got let go. But who knows? Marcus, any other thoughts?
No, I'm just kind of holding out hope that they go with one of these people that we suggested, not stick to the old guard and kind of keep doing what the Nets have been doing, which is look for guys that are under the radar, like off the scrap heap guys, kind of like these people we talked about. Like they've done it with players. Maybe they should try it with a coach as well and just see if it'll take.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I'm with you. It will be interesting to see what happens. I think the next like month is going to be wildly entertaining. I'm curious how the team responds to this. If we get any more news and kind of leaks on what actually happened, because there has to be more to this.
Right.
But you know, of course, we'll be here to cover it every step of the way. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. I'm at JMBass_. The podcast, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Stitcher, we're there. iHeartRadio, Spotify, Podbean. We are everywhere. Rate us, review us. We want to hear what you're thinking. And also check out the podcast I did, Crossover Edition, with Jeff G. from Locked On Spurs, my boy.
Spurs Zone.
He had a lot of good stuff to say. Marcus has a crossover coming with Gavin Shaw of Locked On Knicks. Not as good of a guest as Jeff, but still pretty good.
Not even close.
Yeah, not even close. So we are tapping into our friends across the Locked On sphere. A lot of good stuff coming your way. And until next time, be well.
Bye.